Japan's cabinet has approved an $800 billion draft budget with an emphasis on defense spending. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Noelle King in for David Brancaccio. Japan's cabinet has prioritized a handful of things in a draft budget approved today. They include welfare programs like Social Security spending and, as the BBC's Jonathan Fruin reports, military spending.
Japan will spend more than $42 billion on defense next year, a new record which marks the fourth annual increase in military spending. The defense boost comes after a year of increasingly assertive maritime activity by China in disputed seas. The plan also approves the purchase of a range of US defense hardware, deepening cooperation with America. Those purchases include a surveillance drone, F-35 fighter jets, and an Aegis destroyer. The draft budget also includes record Social Security spending, the biggest single item to help deal with Japan's aging population and stimulate the economy. The Japanese parliament will need to approve the budget, but as Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's Liberal Democratic Party controls both houses of parliament, it's expected to pass without difficulty.
Later today, we'll also get a better sense of how Japan's economy is doing. Numbers on unemployment, the consumer price index, and household spending are all due out. Typically, it's tricky to get a full picture of what's going on inside Japan's massive economy. Marketplace's Mark Garrison tells us why.
You might think worrying about Japan's economy went out of style in the 80s, along with Flock of Seagulls haircuts. But even after recent troubles, it is the world's third largest economy. Santa Clara University management professor Robert Eberhardt says, pay attention.
It's important for us to understand it because Japan is one of our most significant trading partners.
Japanese buy products that support American jobs. U.S. companies need components Japan makes. So when official numbers recently showed a recession but were then revised to show modest 1% growth, it made waves in America. Arthur Alexander is an adjunct professor at Georgetown University and former president of the Japan Economic Institute.
Understanding that Japanese economy is tough because the overall slower growth means that any kind of bumps that it hits can easily turn it into a negative growth for that period of time.
That delicate situation comes as Japan is trying to fix its economy, and there's a big debate over whether it's working. When the economic picture is such a moving target, there's plenty of ammo for both sides. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Both Christmas and New Year's Day fall on Fridays this year. That means a nice long weekend off for many people, but fewer working days for a lot of businesses. We asked Marketplace's Kimberly Adams to be a bit of a Scrooge and look at whether companies take a hit from all that lost productivity.
In an office setting, work can grind to a halt over the holiday season. Andy Deckers with staffing firm Robert Half, which surveyed workers about the holidays. Many people won't be working at all, but for those who are stuck clocking in,
you will definitely see some decreased productivity from people who are at the office.
A little over half of those surveyed said they'd be somewhat productive. Only about a third said they'd be very productive. So rather than make the proverbial Bob Cratchit work late on Christmas Eve, some companies think the holidays can be more productive as a time to earn brownie points with staff. Rob Giddings is a vice chairman at consulting firm PwC.
In the professional services industry, your ability to attract talent and then keep them is really the most important thing for you being competitive.
Staff at PwC can take a 10-day holiday break that Giddings says helps retention. And that, he says, is good for business. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Let's take a look at some numbers. It's a half day today for markets in the U.S. and for some indices in Europe. The FT 100 in London is flat. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st.
It is a familiar sound this time of year. The Salvation Army dispatches volunteers with red kettles to street corners and shopping malls across the country to collect donations. It's a tradition dating back to the late 1800s. A Salvation Army captain named Joseph McPhee wanted to provide Christmas dinner to 1,000 of San Francisco's poorest residents. He dreamed up the kettle collection as a way to pay for the dinner. A few days ago, I met one Salvation Army captain who is carrying on McPhee's legacy in New York City's Rockefeller Plaza. The plaza is a blur of rushed shoppers, tourists taking selfies, and Midtown workers trying to get home for the night. But most people stop, or at least slow down, when they get a glimpse of Captain Gerardo Balmori and his golden handbells.
Go
sings along to the carols blasting from his stereo, and he dances.
It's so wonderful to see everybody smiling and start dancing. They get excited and want to dance with us.
The more he dances, the louder he sings, the bigger the crowd grows, and people stream over to his kettle to throw in a dollar or five or ten. At 2 hours into Balmori's shift, one kettle is already filled, and he's on to a second.
You see the bucket holds probably about $600-$700. The first bucket was filled in about an hour.
Last year, the Salvation Army raised nearly $145 million during the Red Kettle campaign. Balmori says his involvement with the Salvation Army was a bit of serendipity. He and his family are immigrants from Mexico. When they arrived in Pennsylvania in the mid-90s, he got a job as a woodworker, but he couldn't make ends meet. He, his wife, and his two young children were going hungry until the Salvation Army helped them out.
I think they found out about our situation, and then the pastor, Richard Lopez, one night he decided just to brought us a box of food, and I think a chicken. So we were very happy because we were struggling financially. We got nothing to eat until the next week.
Now he works for the Salvation Army full-time as an officer and pastor. He's been manning the holiday kettles for 19 years. Before I let Balmori return to his dancing, does he have a favorite memory as a kettle collector? He has too many, he says, but here's one from just this year.
Somehow this happens. A lot of people from different nationalities join us. It was Feliz Navidad, a song that is a bilingual song, you know, Spanish and English. And we have Chinese, we have people from Africa, we have people from Australia, from, well, Europe, you know, all over the place, Latin America. Everybody dancing to the same tune, you know, in the same place.
It was, he says, like the whole world had joined in.
Feliz Navidad!
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Tobin Lowe. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.